It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Farid.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, with falling divorce rates over the last 20 years, is the era of big divorce over?
First, the U.S. Department of Justice announced new restrictions on racial profiling by federal law enforcement today. The new guidelines are 5 years in the making and will apply to some national security activities for the first time.
Here to spell out these new racial profiling guidelines for us is Timothy Phelps. He's a Justice Department and Legal Affairs correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. Tim, welcome to Central Time.
Hello there.
Well, racial profiling is already illegal for federal law enforcement officials. What areas got expanded with these new rules?
Well, in addition to banning race and ethnicity, which had been in place for 11 years, they now ban law enforcement targeting characteristics including gender, religion, national orientation, national origin, sexual orientation, or gender identity.
And who will be following these new guidelines? What groups?
Almost all federal law enforcement personnel. Local law enforcement, like those involved in the recent shooting in Ferguson and the death in Staten Island, are not covered by this policy.
Now, there are some areas of the federal government, in terms of law enforcement, some agencies, some scenarios that don't have to follow these regulations. Tell us about the exceptions.
Yes, there are exceptions for certain activities of the Border Patrol working within 100 miles of the border, and the Secret Service, and the Transportation Security Administration working in screening at airports.
And what is the thinking behind why these people don't have to follow the new racial profiling rules?
Well, I think the thinking is that the situation, the threat of people to passengers on airplanes is so heightened and so precarious right now since 9/11. That taking in someone's religion or national origin may be necessary, as long as they tell me there are other characteristics that meet some defined security threat. And again, on the border, it's the same sense of heightened national security from people who are infiltrating into the country illegally.
Critics have said that because these don't apply to everyone, including screeners at airports and border checkpoints, that these are flawed guidelines and they don't really address problems and the need for reform. How has the Justice Department responded to that criticism?
Well, their response is that this does an awful lot more than what was there before. These new categories are quite an expansion. However, there are so many caveats, and not just the two that you mentioned, that civil rights leaders who've been pushing for this change feel that it's kind of one step forward and one step backward.
Now, these regulations have been in the works and under advisement for 5 years. They got released shortly after the unrest we've seen after the Ferguson case with Michael Brown and the death of Michael Brown and now Eric Garner. Do you see these regulations as a direct response to that in a way?
No, not a direct response. As you said, they've been in the works for 5 years, and really the reason they're being released now is that Eric Holder is about to retire as Attorney General. He's only going to be in this position for a few more weeks, probably. And it's something he very much personally wanted to get done before he left. The Justice Department is calling it one of his signature accomplishments.
It sounds like, though, the federal government is hoping that these new regulations will influence the way local law enforcement works eventually, that it will be sort of role model for local enforcement.
That's right. The Justice Department said that that Mr. Holder hopes that these regulations will be a model which will be followed by state and local law enforcement over time. There is one situation in which state and local officers are included, and that is if they are working on a task force with federal law enforcement.
How significant do you see these new regulations as being?
I think they're symbolically very significant. I think that there's so many caveats, including certain national security situations, that at least in the eyes of civil rights leaders, they don't fundamentally change the situation for people of color on the ground.
With all the caveats that you mentioned, is there concern that the enforcement of them could be unclear?
I all day been reading the 12 pages of guidance that have been issued, and it really is pretty hard to parse. So you wonder how an officer on the ground is going to be able to take it all into account in some difficult situation.
Is this seen as something that is finished, with a bow tied over the top, or is this something that you think will be tweaked in the days or months or even years to come?
Well, civil rights leaders are hoping that the president will step in and tell the Department of Homeland Security, to include Border Patrol and TSA. But frankly, this has been in the works for so long. It's been such a huge battle within the federal government that if it was going to happen, it would have happened while Holder was there in office in a position to influence the outcome.
Now, you've said that these are mostly symbolic guidelines. How different do you think federal law enforcement will be because of these guidelines?
Well, in some ways they're symbolic. In other ways, they're quite real. I mean, for people who are Muslim, for people who are from Yemen, those kinds of people will get more protection. And so I didn't mean to suggest that it was purely symbolic. It's just that there are a number of exceptions to these new protections, so that, for example, it still may be possible for an FBI agent to conduct undercover surveillance of a mosque, even if they don't have any evidence of illegal activity there.
Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We've been speaking with Timothy Phelps, Justice Department and Legal Affairs Correspondent for the Los Angeles Times.